Hi there, we really hope you enjoy this teaching from The Message. To find out more about all the exciting things we're doing and how you can get involved, check out our website, message.org.uk.
Yes, everybody. Yes, nice to be here with you guys. Welcome to Message Mornings. My name is Sammy and I am one third of The Message's creative team, a band called Soulbox. We make music as a way for us to kind of like use it as a tool to tell young people about Jesus. I mean, recently, if you caught Ryan's new YouTube channel, Generation Rising playlist, we actually made it onto Andy Hawthorne's top 5 songs from The Message. Now, considering old boy used to kill it back in the day, I think we're doing pretty all right. I think it's a compliment. So make sure that you check out some of the content that we're putting up for young people to give them an opportunity to still follow Jesus in, even in this time where we can't travel to them and go into schools and stuff. So I'm super excited to be starting a new series with you guys today on a Thursday morning, alternating with Sarah Small. And we're going to be looking closely at the book of Psalm, particularly Psalm 1. And do you know what? Psalm 1 is one of those scriptures that's become a bit of a bedrock like scripture in my life, something that I go back to time and time again and reflect on. And it's just really spoken to me. And I remember a time after I'd finished doing my gap year here at The Message, where I found myself like getting caught up in trying to find my happiness and like where I'm going to in my future, where I'm heading, where I want to be. And I kind of lost myself a little bit. And my mentor reminded me, Sammy, come back to the words that God is speaking to you about here in this psalm. And she was challenging me and inviting me on a journey of discovering what it means to be rooted in righteousness. And that's what this series we're going to be looking at is called. It's going to be called Rooted in Righteousness. And today we're going to closely be looking at Psalm 1, verse 1. And before we kind of get into that, I just wanted to kind of explore one of the things that Psalm 1 talks about. So Psalm 1 kind of like talks about how in life we are given a choice in which like we can live, two ways that we can choose to live our lives. The first way is the way of the righteous, and the second way is the way of the wicked. Now, when reading this kind of stuff in the Bible, I find it really hard to kind of define what these words mean. And like, you can find yourself getting a bit confused to be like, oh, what does wicked mean? What does righteous mean? So I thought I kind of look a little bit into these words so I can kind of come up with a definition that can help me understand what the psalmist is talking about here. And when looking at the word wicked and places that it's used in the Bible and words that it can be used to mean, I kind of came up with this definition that hopefully will help us understand who we are talking about. So the wicked are those who are guilty of actively, passively, or sometimes unintentionally living a life that is hostile to or against God. That's how I would define the wicked in the context of this psalm. The righteous, however, you can kind of look at words again that are used in the Bible and like what they're used to mean in those areas, and you can kind of come up with this definition for the righteous. Those who have been set free from condemnation and have been made right with God by God. And they live a life that is actively in pursuit of God. Now, verse 6 shows us kind of like the final destination for these two ways that we're given a choice to choose between. And it says this in verse 6 of Psalm 1. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. So I guess the question is, as we look at this psalm, I guess it is, why wouldn't we choose the way of the righteous? You know, this way of the righteous leads to a blessed life, a life which leads to eternity. The way of the wicked, as we can see in verse 6, it tells us that eventually they will perish. There is an end to their life. Why would we choose the way of the wicked, which leads to a fleeting life and a life that ends in destruction? See, we get to choose instead to be rooted in righteousness. And I guess as we unpack this psalm over the next couple of months, we should closely evaluate our lives to see, are we rooted in righteousness? Allow God to challenge us as we answer that question. Are we rooted in righteousness? So let's read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in each season, and his leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Now, one thing that I've kind of like noticed being part of the message is that it enables you to meet all sorts of people from all sorts of walks of life. And in my 5 years that I've been in and around the message, I've had the privilege of speaking to all sorts of people. People who are in primary school age, people all the way up to like the elderly age. And based on chats that I've personally had with people, I can kind of tell you that I think that every human, every single one of us, we are looking to be happy. We just want happiness. And if that's you this morning, you are looking for happiness, you want to be happy in your life, I would encourage you to read this psalm and take closely the words that are written in here. Because the psalmist is giving us the formula for happiness. It's the very first thing that he addresses in this beautiful Bible passage. It opens with saying, "Blessed is the man." Now, in the original Hebrew language, that blessed literally means happy. And not only that, it's the plural of happy. So he's saying, oh, the happiness of the man, the happinesses, the blessedness of this person. You know, as I was chatting about this idea of happiness with Ben Jack, as I was kind of like putting this together, he reminded me of something. When we think about happiness, we often forget that God himself is completely and utterly happy. He exists in the highest degree of happiness. And what happens when we start to pursue him is we get to experience that high degree of happiness. See, God is completely fulfilled. In fact, when he made us out of the overflow of being content, not lonely, not insecure, content and fulfilled. He made us because he was happy and he invites us to experience this happiness. It is a happiness that is rooted in contentment and fulfillment of knowing God and walking with him. Happiness, blessedness, it's simply a byproduct of our relationship with God. So if you want to be happy this morning, I would actually say to you, pursue God. But also what's amazing is, in the beginning of the psalm, the person writing this tells us, if we want to be happy, here's what not to pursue. And he tells us by showing us this progression of what the blessed man, the happy man, is not supposed to do. See, he says that the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, he does not take the advice of the ungodly. He doesn't stand and surround himself with people who are walking away from God. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scoffers. And I believe that the psalmist is giving us the same advice that my mum has given me ever since I was a little girl. You know, often, actually, I need to change that because it's not often. She shouted at me for saying this. But every time my mom speaks to me, she will tell me, Samantha, make sure you are in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right things that bring glory unto God. And I asked my mom, I said, Mom, why did you give me this advice? And she said, well, do you know what, Samantha? Sin is very progressive. It can start with you simply being with the wrong people. So that's why I have named this talk today, Be With The Right People. And I actually think that this progression of sin that my mom was telling me about may be what the psalmist is showing us in this very passage here. See that it says, don't walk with the wicked. You go from walking to don't stand to don't sit. I think that there is a progression that can happen when we start to slip and be with the wrong people. We can look at an example later on today, actually, of somebody who I think went on this progression. But the first question that I want to ask you guys today, based on verse 1, is who are you listening to? Simply, who are you listening to? Because the psalmist says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. In other words, blessed is the person who doesn't listen to the advice of the wicked. So I want to ask you, who are you listening to in your life? There is a lot of bad advice in the world there for us to listen to. Social media is filled with it. We can be givers of bad advice ourselves. You know, you can find this on Facebook, on Twitter, Instagram, even just by listening to the news. The Jewish person who was reading this was probably thinking about this merely on a face-to-face basis. They literally had to walk and go and meet people who may give them bad advice. But for us, It's a little bit more complicated because we're surrounded by it everywhere that we look. So we need to be really careful who we are listening to. The world is filled with a lot of ungodly advice. You can literally just be chilling on Facebook, scrolling through videos like I do, and it pops up. Advice about how you should look. Advice about where you should be spending your money. Advice about who you should be spending your time with. And a lot of the time, this advice isn't always good for us, and it can influence us to do things that pull us away from God. So who are you listening to? What advice are you listening to? Is it pulling you away from God? Does it match up with the truth of what the Bible says? Is it leading you closer to God or further away from God? Who are you listening to? And the next question I want to ask us this morning is, who are you surrounding yourself with? You know, the longer that you're around bad advice and listening to it, the sooner you'll find yourself influenced by it. I remember my mom used to always tell me what I told you before, to be with the right people and to be doing the right things. And I found myself slowly and slowly surrounding myself with people who weren't living in the way that I wanted to live. When I was in high school, a lot of my friends got caught up in taking drugs and stuff. And I was like, I would never do that. I'm not gonna start ever partaking in that kind of lifestyle. But by the time I was in college, I was so immersed with so many people around me who were literally okay with doing that stuff. And before you know it, I started listening to what they were saying. It's all natural, man. It's good for you, man. Come and have a good time, man. And before I knew it, I actually ended up with drug-induced anxiety and depression because I wasn't surrounding myself with people who were leading me in the right way. Fair enough, they thought it was okay to live that lifestyle, but I didn't want to end up living that lifestyle, but I let my guard down. I started listening, and then before, and then after that, I started surrounding myself with it, and then eventually I was living it. Be with the right people. Be with people who encourage you and push you forward. So I want to ask you, who are you surrounding yourself with? It's very important. Now, don't get me wrong this morning, because I'm not saying that you shouldn't be friends with people who don't follow God. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be surrounding yourself with them in the way of like being friends and associating. That's not what I'm saying at all this morning. In fact, Jesus really modeled how we do this well. It's okay to be friends with people who don't believe the same thing that you believe. But actually, the danger comes when we start to be influenced and start living like them. When praying for us in John 17, 15, 17, Jesus said, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them with your truth. Your word is truth." We are to stand with people, but be countercultural. The next question I want to ask you this morning is, who are you joining in with? You know, when I look at the Bible, there are so many people that kind of took this progression of sin. And one person that I think kind of did it, maybe in an unintentional way, was actually Lot. See, Lot is Abraham's nephew, and when God calls Abraham and promises him that he's going to make a nation out of him and that all this amazing stuff is going to come out of it, one of the people who went along with Abraham was his nephew, Lot. But in Genesis 13, we see that Lot's community, Abraham's community, they're all growing and there's quarreling, all this stuff is happening, and they need to part ways. And Lot is literally choosing now which way he's going to go. And he doesn't take the advice of God. He doesn't ask God advice. He doesn't ask his Abraham. He doesn't ask Abraham, his uncle, the advice either. In fact, he chooses to go with what he can see looks good. And I wonder if this was progressive. I wonder if it started with him walking around the area of Sodom and Gomorrah and seeing that this land looks great. This land is flourishing. I want to be a part of that. And then I wonder if it took him one step further to going around those people and asking, how are you guys succeeding? How is it that this place looks so amazing? I kind of want a little bit of that. And then eventually, when he got the choice to choose, he chose to surround himself with those people who were succeeding. It's not necessarily a bad thing, but I wonder if God would have led him there if he had asked God and invited God into that decision. But Lot ends up surrounded by people who are actually living in an ungodly way. And before you know it, his whole community, a lot of them are influenced by the way that these people are living. And in the end, it doesn't end well for Lot. In fact, a lot of his community are destroyed when God destroys the land of Sodom and Gomorrah. They eventually became caught up in the lifestyle and started joining in with how those people were living. And you know what? I can probably understand that it was probably very hard for them when they were there. It's really hard for us not to join in when something is popular. We can find that right now in our lives. At the moment, it's becoming increasingly popular to start to criticize the Bible, the Word of God. It's no longer relevant to our lives. It's no longer fitting with my way of 21st century Christianity. It doesn't speak how I want it to speak. There are so many people criticizing the Bible, and it's easy for us to join in with it. There are many people criticizing the church. It's online, it's boring, I don't want to engage with it anymore. There are so many people criticizing other people. So many people picking at those people who are trying their best in life to live a godly life. Be careful who you are joining in with, because some things are very popular, but that doesn't mean that we have to join in with them. Remember what I said earlier, we're called to be counter-cultural. It's not easy expressing the unpopular opinion, but again, I challenge you. If you are finding yourself in this area where you're even contemplating joining in with some of these activities, I want to challenge you. How have you ended up in that place? How have you ended up surrounded in this lifestyle that you can easily join in with? Who have you been listening to? Who have you been surrounding yourself with? And how is that affecting what you're joining in with at this very moment in your life? Let's take a look at somebody who did this really, really well. Jesus. See, Jesus walked with sinners, but he did not listen to their advice. Throughout the New Testament, there are so many moments where as humanity, as people, we thought that we could give Jesus advice. I mean, bless them. The disciples, I think, did this all the time, but they were a little bit misled, weren't they? They got it wrong, either by literally advising Jesus what he should do in their hearts, by like thinking, oh, why has he done that? I would have done things a little bit differently. But actually, sometimes they would express, God, why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? But the moment that sticks out for me the most throughout the Bible is in Matthew 27, verse 32 onwards, where we're reading about the crucifixion of Jesus. See, Jesus is up on that cross bearing the weight of the sin of humanity, carrying it all on himself, and he's being mocked. He's being told what to do. If you're the Son of God, why don't you jump down from that cross? Why don't you save yourself? If you're the Son of God, you claim to save other people. Why aren't you saving yourself? And in that moment, he's being advised, why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But Jesus does not listen to the counsel of bad advice. In fact, Jesus listens to the counsel of the Holy, the counsel of the Father, the Spirit, and himself, the Son, the counsel which leads him to reconciling the whole world back to himself. Jesus stood with the ungodly. Whilst Jesus came down to earth, he was standing with the ungodly, but he did not agree with the path in which they chose to follow. In fact, what Jesus did a lot of the time was he would find himself standing with people who were ungodly, but he would actually direct them to follow the path which leads them to God. He didn't adapt their manner of living, but notice that those people adapted his manner of living. Jesus stood with the ungodly, but he was not influenced by them. Jesus joined a world full of mockers. Imagine this for a moment. Being a holy God and stepping down into a world that has rejected you. And not just that, but a world that then seeks to mock you. Jesus stepped down out of heaven and made his home among those who had rejected him, but he did not join in our mocking of him, of God. He did not follow the popular opinion, but the will of his Father in heaven. See, in a society where following religious rules made by men, mistreating the poor, forsaking the widows, mistreating women, and judging people by their race and background was the popular thing to do, Jesus didn't do any of that. In fact, he set to live a life where he loved the Father with everything and loved his neighbor. So how can we apply a little bit of what Jesus did into our own lives? Well, I want to start by going back to that first question that I asked you. Who are you listening to? If you really think that at the moment right now in life you are listening to the wrong people, why don't you really step back? Really step back and see the places of which you've been starting to be advised by. Let me encourage you to pray, number one. Ask God to speak to you. Ask him for guidance in every situation. Allow him to be the one who you take the advice from. Before making a decision like Lot did in the Bible, why don't you ask God, God, where do you want me to go? Where do you want to lead me? Seek the input of the godly, like the godly people that God has also put into your life. Sorry, I meant to say seek the advice of the other godly people that God has put into your life. So people like your pastors and your teachers, get a mentor. I've got a mentor who helps me and speaks into my life. And that's one of the greatest things that I would say I would encourage you to do. It's amazing to take advice from people who've been walking with God a little bit longer than we have been. Allow godly people to speak into your life. If you're surrounding yourself with the wrong people, why don't you look at how Jesus did it? You know, whilst they weren't always perfect, Jesus surrounded himself with his 12 mates and some of his best mates as well. You know, Sarah Small mentioned last week that our people matter. The people that we surround ourselves with are very important. So I would encourage you, why don't you figure out who is your squad? Who are the people that you can surround yourself with? It's really tough for us to be in a world that is filled with so many people that are doing ungodly things, and it's easy for us to get involved. But if you're surrounding yourself with people that can champion you and encourage you, you can go out there and be better together. Don't go out there alone. And the last thing I want to look at, are you joining in with the wrong people? Why don't you move away? Why don't you step back and have a think about what is surrounding you that you can easily join in with? You know, recently I came off social media because I found myself kind of like getting caught up and joining in with all the negativity and comparison. And I had to step back. I really had to step back and remember that I'm called to be countercultural. I'm called to be set apart. And when I rejoin Instagram, I hope that I can be somebody who shows what it looks like to be content and fulfilled in Christ. Let's take a step back. What are you joining in with? See, Jesus was rooted in righteousness. Jesus, he was in the right place at the right time with the right people doing the right thing, which brought glory onto his Father, God. As you find yourself walking amongst the ungodly, standing with those who are lost on the wrong path and living in a world full of mockers, remember the way in which Jesus lived his life and use him as the perfect example, the best example. Let me pray for us. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for your perfect example that you showed us when you were here on earth. Thank you, God, that you have shown us the way in which we can follow you on a path of pursuing righteousness, on a path where we can be rooted in righteousness like you are. God, I pray for us who are listening to this today. God, would you help us listen to you? Would you help us seek the advice and the counsel of the godly people that you've placed in our lives? Lord, I pray that you would help us surround ourselves with the right people, your people, God. I pray that we would find power in partnership and that we would surround ourselves with people that can champion us on this road to righteousness. God, I pray that we would join in with what you are doing here on earth instead of joining in something that is opposite to you. God, I pray that you would fill us with your strength. I pray that you would give us the power to persevere and the courage to say no to the things which will in turn make us walk away from you. So Lord, I lift up everybody listening to this today, and I pray that you would be speaking to us as we go through our week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Don't forget to check out message.org.uk to find out how you can support our work or even get involved with one of our teams. We also have another podcast called The Flow Podcast, where we share stories and testimonies of the amazing things that God's doing in people's lives. Search for The Flow Podcast on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening.